Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find a host of other Bible-related material. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to all or any of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our desire is to show you the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Christ Jesus, who died for your sin. Last week, we began a study of the subject of conversion. This morning, we want to talk about the conversions of the Samaritans. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 8, for this is where the account of the conversion of the Samaritans is found. Now, remember, are we really converted? Conversion is needed, and it is accomplished by a change of heart, by a change of life, by a change of relationship, and by a change of conduct. And it is to change one's mind and to go in a different direction. We talked about the passages of conversion last week from Matthew 18:4 and also Acts 3:19 and James 5, verse 19 and 20. And those passages teach us the understanding of what conversion is all about, and that is changing one's mind that results changing his conduct. And remember, it's not merely a change in knowledge. It's not just a change in action. We have to change our knowledge. We have to change our conviction. We have to change our allegiance. And we have to change the way we think. And we have to change our will from away from ours to His. And it's a change in commitment, resulting in a change of relationship and in a change of identity. It's a change in who we are, how we talk, and where we go, and how we conduct ourselves as we live in this life. And the word of the Lord is the vehicle that makes possible that conversion to take place. Now, here's a brief analyst of the conversion of the Samaritans. In verses 1 through 3, there's great persecution arose against the church and the involvement of Saul. And we see that in Acts 8, very early, he was causing havoc with the church. The disciples were driven from Jerusalem and went everywhere preaching the word, according to Acts 8 and verse 4. In verse 5, Philip begins to preach Jesus, and he begins to do miracles. And the Samaritans were converted in verses 6 through 13. And in verses 14 through 17, the apostles send Peter and John to the Samaritans that they may receive the Holy Spirit in the realm of miraculous gifts. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. And then in verses 18 through 25, we see a very important example of one that fell after their initial obedience, something that men deny today. Now, we begin by understanding in Acts chapter 1 through 3 that Saul was persecuting the church. And in verse 3, it says he was making havoc with it and entering every house, dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. He did this, according in his own words, because of his misunderstanding and ignorance that he was doing God's will when he was fighting against God. We will read more about that and understand that next week when we talk about his conversion. But notice that even though the Jews were being scattered, according to verse 4, they went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere sounding out this message and preaching the gospel wherever they went. And we read that there was much success in that if you read in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 8. Now, we begin the account of the conversion of the Samaritans in verse number 5. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now, he didn't preach the law of Moses. He preached Christ to them. And the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy. Now, why were the miracles accomplished? Well, we can read that in Mark chapter 16, in verse number 20. In Mark 16:20 it says, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs." The miracles were not done to make them believe in the speaker. They were done in order to confirm that the authenticity, that their message was from divine origin, that it came from God. Now, there was a certain man there named Simon. Now, let's read a little bit about Simon. He practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip and he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and he was amazed seeing the miracles and signs that were done by him. Now, here is a charlatan who was trying to hoodwink the people that he was somebody great, and he had astonished them, and he had bewitched them for a long time. But when he sees what Philip can do, when he sees the ability and the things that he can do, he knows that it's the genuine article. He knows that those are real miracles, and by the preaching of Philip and those miracles, he is converted to Christ. Now, there's a very important thing in verse 14 through verse 17. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Now, why would they send Peter and John down to Samaritans? Philip was working miracles. We already stated that in verse number 7. And there was great joy, and he seeing the miracles that he did in verse 6 and 7. So why send Peter and John down there? Why not just let Philip lay hands on him? Well, look at verse 15. "Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it had fallen upon none of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now notice that the Holy Spirit did not fall on them when they were baptized. Now, we have those in the religious world today that said we're saved by Holy Spirit baptism. No, we're not saved by Holy Spirit baptism. The Holy Spirit doesn't come upon men through baptism. The promise of the Holy Spirit does. We read that in Acts 2, and that's the promise of eternal life. But the Holy Spirit itself is not done by baptism. But we see in verse 16, verse 17, "And they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." How did they receive the Holy Spirit to be able to do those miraculous gifts? By laying on of the apostles' hands. Philip could do the gifts. He got it in Acts 6, but he couldn't pass it on to others because he did not have that ability. The only one that could pass the gifts on to other men were through the hands of the apostles. Now, this is very important. Spiritual gifts were for a short period of time. And when did those gifts die? When the apostles died. In order to obtain the gifts, you had to have an apostle lay hands on you. If there's no apostles, then there are no gifts. Now, remember Simon? He was impressed, and he saw that the laying on the apostles' hands, that the Holy Spirit was given. That impressed him. So he says in verse 19, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God and purchase it with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord that none of the things that you have spoken may come upon me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very important point that I want you to see. I want you to notice that here is Philip, who believed the Philip preaching, and Simon the sorcerer believed and was baptized. And he was following Philip. But when he saw that the apostles had the ability to lay hands on people and bestow the Holy Spirit, he tried to buy that gift with money. What happened? He then found himself in the bond of iniquity. Notice what he says, "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." If he's in the bond of iniquity, he's now separated from God again. Yes, he had initially obeyed, but now he had fallen away by his conduct of trying to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he's told to repent. But why would he need to repent if he's already saved? He needs to repent because now he's guilty of sin again, because he tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he said that he was bound by iniquity. And he needed to pray and ask God if the thought of his heart might be forgiven him. And so he was given a second avenue in order to return. And in verse 24, Simon the sorcerer understood it, because he asked Peter to pray for him, that none of these things that he had spoken against him might come upon him. So what do we see here in the conversion of the Samaritans? Number one, we see that miracles were done in the first century to confirm the authenticity of the word. We also see that only the apostles had the ability to be able to pass those gifts on to other men. Men who received the Holy Spirit by the laying on of the apostles' hand did not have the ability to lay hands on other people and bestow upon them the Holy Spirit. And so it took an apostle. And that's why Peter and John were sent to Samaria to lay hands on the apostles, the apostles to lay hands on the Samaritans, so they would receive the Holy gift, the Holy Spirit. Now, why would they need the Holy Spirit? They would need it to further the church, for the church to grow. How would they know how to organize the church? How would they know what the worship of the church is? How would they know how to organize? All that was not revealed. All the written word was not revealed yet. It was still being put together. So they would need that information in order to grow into Christ. And so that those gifts were given to different individuals, and they were given in order to further the church, to grow the spiritual immaturity, to make them mature and strong in Christ. And we also see a very important lesson, that one can fall from grace. Galatians 5 verse 4 teaches that too. Simon fell from grace. Why? Because of sin. He sinned. We can sin after one's initial obedience. And he was told to repent and pray to God that the thought of his heart might be forgiven him. Why was he told to repent and pray if one can never be lost after they are saved? You need to ask yourself that, my friend. If you're in a church that teaches that once you're saved, you're always saved, and nothing you do can cause you to be lost, how do you explain Simon the sorcerer? How do you explain the apostle telling him, Peter telling him that he needed to repent and pray and seek God's forgiveness after he had already become a believer in Christ? Ask yourself that question. Don't take my word for it. Go back and study Acts chapter 8. See for yourself. This is what we learn from the conversion of the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8. We learn that they were converted by the preaching of the gospel. Please tune in again next week when we will look at another.